Do you want to hear a really cool story about how I didn't plug my microphone in but just recorded this entire intro? Yeah, hilarious.
You love me, and I'm like, you, okay. He's right.
Like, you're a little weird.
You like look at them and you're like, I hate everything about you. Please don't ever leave me.
Like staring at me, and I was like, because I love you so much.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Serious?
I've never needed you to be more decisive in your entire life, actually.
First of all, don't ever talk about my eyebrows.
Sensitive.
Hey, hi, hello, guys. It's Token Carney. Welcome back to another episode of Professionally Unprofessional. In this episode, we are going to finish our interview with Chloe from Barrio Letterpress, and I am super excited to just dive right on in, so we're just going to take a quick second to remind you to check out the first episode. If you missed it, it has been a few weeks because of moving in the Rona, but it is here for part two. In this one, we are going to focus more on Chloe's college experience and how she works as a teacher and uses code switching and developing personal relationships and educating people to build connections to help continue supporting her business. The most important thing that I want everyone to focus on and pay attention to is what Chloe says defines professionalism and success for her. Also, don't forget to stay tuned to the end of the podcast because we are still doing that raffle. We're giving away one of Chloe's Manifesting Magic kits. So super excited to give that away. So make sure you stay tuned till the end of this podcast to learn how you can win yours. Let's jump on in.
It fueled me even more. Like, I was like, no, now I have to do my job really well so that I have the extra time to, like, still be a mom, still be a human, still be a wife, like, be a family member. Like, I had to, like, compartmentalize my life in such a way that I could still be professional and also have my business. And when people find out that I'm an entrepreneur, I have two businesses, BT Dubs. So if anyone out there is wondering, like, can I do multiple things with my life? Like, fuck
yes. As we're sitting on one of my four podcast channels,
exactly.
YouTube, my website, like, you can do multiple things for your passion, especially for you. I think going into where people are like, oh, you can give this up. Those people don't understand it. When you started this, this was therapy for you. Like, you didn't start this as a, I'm going to make money. I mean, it turned into that. Thank you. But it was one of those situations where it was like, I need something to help myself meditate, relax, find clarity. And that's the same thing with me in this. Like, I was journaling for my own use. And then it turned into something that other people wanted. So you just start sharing it. So when you get to the point where you're like, okay, I have to go back to my regular job now. And people are like, well, you can give this up. Why? I spent so much time and passion and energy into this. Like, why would I give it up?
And that's the thing that comes to, I've gotten really good at explaining why, you know, I'm part of this network of entrepreneurs, and so many of them are like, come on, make your brand successful so that you can quit your job. And I'm like, I don't want to quit my job. I know that this is like a foreign concept to you, but I don't mind. You know, there are days where I'm like, I hate this, and this doesn't let me do this with my time, and I wish I had more flexibility. But, like, that is not the intent, and it doesn't color my perception of, like, what I'm able to do within the time that I have. As far as, like, being a full-time, when people find out, like, my clients, I'm always very forthcoming, and I say, like, hey, I know you saw on my Instagram that I have a toddler. I know you might have seen that I'm a school teacher. Like, this does not deter my clients from wanting to work with me because they know that I show up. And so to me, just forces me to be better at customer service and be more mindful of, like, who I am and how I give.
It also sets your boundaries because I've started doing coaching in the same way that you do. hello, allergies. How are we doing? Just out of nowhere, I couldn't speak.
Then you closed that window.
I was like, oh. Yeah, and it's been hectic here. It's a weird time to have allergies, y'all. You cough, and people are like, you got the Rona? No, I have pollen. Thank you. I started doing all this stuff, and I started putting it down, and then people started messaging me, and they were just like, hey, I saw you do this, because as you know, my whole situation is organization. Like, I am very good at taking someone's dumpster fire and telling them what they need to do to fix it. Like, if you want to get from point A to point B, I'm the type of person where you just, like, hand me, you're like, it's burning. And I'm like, okay. And then I fix it. And it just, like, it's completely, it requires no mental effort on my point. I can just see it and be like, okay, well, if this is point A and that's point B, these are the steps in between. And people started reaching out. They're like, okay, well, I'll pay you for this. And that's how it became a thing. So now I do that. And that's not how this started. That's not how any of this came from. And yes, I have the opportunity to get to a position where I don't have to work anymore.
Yeah.
Is it my goal? I mean, ultimately, yeah, I want to do my own thing and be on my own boss and my own time frame. But I'm not going to go out and be like, oh, I quit this. If it happens, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to say no yeah. to it. But it's a passion thing. It's something that you want to do. And people want to pay me for it. So I yes. completely 100% the same wavelength as you. And it's always
also,
interesting.
Also, we might have to have a conversation off the air about those services because your girl a little messed.
That's fine. We can make that happen.
I'm like the most type B Virgo that ever existed. When people are like, Virgos are so uptight and organized, I'm like, where?
I'm a type A Libra.
Pass.
I'm a type A Libra, so I'm one of those that, like, I don't have the filter. So when people are just like, oh, do this, I look at everything completely logical. There is no emotion in it at all.
Just find the balance.
I'll just 100%. I just say it, do it, and then afterwards I'll say it. I'm the type of person that when people first meet me, as you know, and I talk to them, they have to be like, he's joking, right? Like, he's not. Like, is he serious about this? Because that's just how I put it out there and we're good to go. So yes, we will have that conversation. We will make that happen. But it's crazy to talk to other entrepreneurs and other people that are, your business is everything, and they expect you to be this perfectly professional image, have everything separated and put in these little boxes, and then here you and I are on my podcast, Professionally Unprofessional, where it's, you can have the separation between the two. You can be really good at what you do and still have a life on the outside that blend perfectly together, and it's really endearing to show that to other people and just be like, well, yes, I am a mom. Yes, I am a full-time teacher. I also create something that is a very difficult, beautiful thing to do. And I love every minute of all of this mess that is my life.
Like, so, it's crazy, but I love it.
I mean, I can't imagine, like, other things.
I really couldn't. And I teach high school, like 11th grade. So my students are right at that cusp of like, what the fuck do I do with myself? And I feel like I'm a really good role model in that I try as best as I can to impress upon them that there's no like one size fits all response to that question.
No.
And right now we're even like, I have them researching whether or not students should go to college straight out of high school. And so many of them are coming to the conclusion that like, I never thought I wanted to do anything besides go to college, but in doing the research, you know, I'm finding that there are other pathways to success. And I'm over here like, I'm a teacher. Am I going to sit here and say, like, if I was 18 years old again, I would decide not to go to college? 100% no, because I love learning and I love being in the classroom. And to me, that was like, that's why I went to school. That's why I got a master's degree. Like, I love being in the classroom as
a
student.
But that's you.
And exactly.
It's different, right? It's different.
And that's something that I'm so like passionate about is that it's not that doesn't inherently mean everyone should do it. Like I have so many family members who are successful at what they do, but never went to school. Like I have a certain family member who's I think like fourth in command at like a pretty well established corporation and does not have a legitimate high school diploma.
I'm in my family. I'm the first person in my family to graduate college. And I'm talking like grandparents down. Like my grandfather, he went to college and he did everything. But other than that, I'm the first one. And then my siblings, you know, they've all gone to college and Abby's in college right now. Like they're all doing their thing. But for me, I went to college because I had to. I did not go to college for any other purpose. Like my parents are like, you're going to college or you're joining
literally
the military.
Didn't get a choice.
And I was just like, oh, heard. So I went and did circus
the
and
military.
Theater. Could you imagine me? They'd be like, grab this, and I'd be like, hmm? Like, it's not.
Oh, no. You, come grab that for me, please.
Like, hard pass. Especially when we did the, like, the military testing, and I got such, the ASVEP, or whatever it's called, I got such such a high score that they were calling me all the time, and I was just like, honey, no. No, not my gas. Like, no. Right, so I went to school for theater and circus and everything, but in that program, they were just like, we're really happy to have all of you, but you don't need to be here.
Yeah.
Like, they were super honest about it and everything. And I think that's important because I've gone and I've talked to high schoolers, 11th and 12th grade, and, like, told them how they need to do things. And some of them are like, I don't want to go to college. And I'm like, cool, do you know what you want to do? And yeah. As long as they know where they want to go, who cares?
And my whole thing, even with, you know, I've been fortunate to work with students who, for lack of a better term, like, they've always just been told, like, college is the pinnacle, right? Like,
right.
You should be planning to go to college. And one of my, you know, I always say that this is, like, a benefit of being a younger teacher, but I'll be like, sorry, but people lie. And I just, like, straight up tell them. I'm
it's
like,
true.
I can't sit here and say. And then the other reality is a lot of the students I work with, they're not college ready in terms of, like, academic ability.
Well, and so, the financial on top of it. Like, college is expensive. And moving from the East Coast to the West Coast, seeing all these people out here, they're like, you have what degree? You have what minor? You did all of this? Like, that's crazy. Because most of the people out here don't. But it's so incredibly expensive. And I'm a huge, like, yes, you should go to college. It was a brilliant experience. I loved every second of it. I like learning. I would go back if I could. But if it's a choice between getting a college education or putting yourself in so much debt and stress and all this, no, you don't need to
it's
do
me,
that.
It's me, the poster child for student debt.
Right. Like, you don't need to do those things to be successful. There are other ways to do it. And I love it.
One of the things that always, you know, I have to have, like, very open and candid conversations about is, like, if I have a student who says, like, I'm going to be a doctor, and I, you know, as a professional, like, I'm a special ed teacher, I have a degree, I have two degrees in education, like, I have to use my, like, obviously in a tactful and professional way, I have to let kids know that, like, the expectations around becoming a doctor and, like, going to medical school, that it's not just like, I'm going to become a doctor. Like, if you can't even handle the homework assignment I'm giving you right now, shorty, you better come up with a different plan. And that is really, like,
I love you, but no.
And it's not I always tell them, I'm like, I fucking hope that one day you walk through my door in a white coat and prove me wrong. I, like, that is my dream. That would be, like, I wouldn't even be salty about it. I'm going to take
your blood to bed. Have one of your students have you print up their medical invitations for their graduation party. Just be like, maybe eat that.
Hire me. It's fine. With your new doctor salary, you'll be making way more money than me. But I just, sometimes I'm like, you know what? People really are not having these candid conversations. Like, people are being like, okay, you want to be a doctor? That's awesome. I'm like, wait. You know, not everyone can become a doctor. We need tradesmen. We need mechanics. We need, you know, people who are going to work for the cable company. Like, we need that stuff.
I think it's a major difference, too, because when you and I went to college, because we went around the same time, right? Because So we went at the same time for it. And for us, it was like, this is what you have to do. There are no other options. And now that we've gone through it and we're the ones telling it, like, this current generation that's going through, y'all don't need the same. Like, the world has changed, as the poor millennials have noticed.
I know. I'm always like, you Gen Z people have no idea. You have no idea. And my students are like, shut up, Mrs. SJ. I'm like, listen, I'm just saying.
I just love when you go to teach someone, especially me when I was coaching, you know, there's only like a 5 to 10 year gap between us. And when we were in school and had teachers that were 26 and whatever teaching, we were just like, whatever, you're so young, this is so cool. But now we're just like, no, listen, I understand that we are the same age. Things. Like, I understand that we could probably go get food or like a drink after this, but I need you to pay attention to me and understand that the world lies. Lies.
I always tell them, I'm like, you see that little twitch in my eye that like pops up when I'm talking about like debt and like banks? Okay, so perfect example. One day I'm giving this lesson about word choice. And so, you know, we're talking about when people are trying to be persuasive and they want to be powerful speakers, they choose words that have emotional ties. So I put up a section of a speech by Martin Luther King. And the line that sticks out in my mind, because it was really like, I actually broke down and cried after this lesson. I'll get to why. So the line is, we have come here today to America's capital to cash a check. And in my head, I'm like, oh, that's so fucking powerful. Like, he's talking about like what African Americans are owed by the government, right? Like, mm-hmm. you have to give us this. My students read that shit and thought he was talking about going to a bank. Like an actual bank, like his bank.
Just the gap in what you had to say right there.
And I was like, oh my word. Y'all motherfuckers think he's talking about a check, like a paper check. Why would you think that? And so I'm like, all right, process, Chloe, quick. Like, how do we fix this? Because, you know, when you're reading this and you're thinking about, I'm asking them all these like critical questions, like what is owed to them? And they're like, well, how much money is the check for? I'm like,
reparations don't have a cost, y'all.
They'll think that there's a physical check involved in this. Oh dear God. So then I'm like, let's talk about what a metaphor is, friends. This is not a physical check. And, you know, just I have to put a little disclaimer on this. Like, sometimes I really will give it to my students straight and be like, people did you dirty in your early years of schooling, because you should know this. And so that was one of those moments where I had to take my teacher hat off, put on my I'm not that much older than you hat, and be like, listen to me. Listen, like, really hear the words that I'm
saying. Counselor Chloe popped out. You can do that if you want, but you won't regret it.
And I said, I was like, listen, I love you. I'm sorry to say this, but there's no fucking bank involved. Like, we are not at the bank. I pulled up a picture of the March on Washington. I was like, we are standing in the nation's capital at the Washington Monument right now. Like, this is where we are. We are not at Chase. We are not at Wells Fargo, okay? So get that shit out of your head and really stick with me now. And all my students are people of color. So I'm over here like, oh my God, what are you talking about? Like, this is our history. You need to be like savvy to this.
See, and I think that's another thing, because obviously I can't speak to people of color because like I'm lacking all of it. But I can speak to queer culture because that is where I tie in. So I see I see Gen Z and younger, and they're talking about, and they're like, yes, sis, let's kiki. And they know this. And I'm like, oh, so you know about Marsha? And they're like, Marsha who? And I'm just like, Marsha P. The black trans woman that gave you the rights that you have, or when white women or anything, and I've done this in other podcasts. I was on one where I literally looked right into the microphone and I was like, white women, stop using queer language if you're not going to respect queer women of color, because that is where it comes from.
Yeah.
And it's just completely, and yes, it's not all Gen Z. There are other people around and stuff, but you're going to start doing that. Or the best one right now is all the older women are like, yes, girls, slay. Or, okay, sweetie, you know what you're doing. And I was like, you don't get to say those things. Like, you don't. Like, I saw it yesterday on Twitter. Some girl, they used the term house. They're like, oh, whatever, the house. And I was like, that's not how that phrase goes. It's house down, first of all. It's Erica Andrews. Like, I know it's Erica Andrews. We love her. God rest her soul. She's beautiful. But, like, that whole thing. And then the girl commented on it. I didn't comment, but the other girl commented. She's like, oh, I'm sorry that you don't know what's going on, sweetie, that you're just not educated, queen. And I was like, don't say anything. Keep your queer ass over here and just don't say anything.
But sometimes you just want to, like, I think it's, I have to pick my battles, like it sounds like you're suggesting. Like, choose your battles, because even, especially like with my students, I'm like, I could fight these mofos all day long. Mm-hmm. Like, they really try to tell me that they know about like life. And I'm like, friend, do you pay bills? No, you don't know shit about life.
I thought I knew everything when I was 18. I was like, I know what's going on. I'm good at this. I got all of this. And now I'm 29 sitting here like, she may have made a mistake.
I mean, I'm like, my mom regularly drags me. Like, she's like, you're very mean to your students. And honestly, you wasn't.
Someone has to be.
Either. And I'm like, excuse me, I was very much in a different spot than they are.
I also feel like if someone talked to me the way that we talk to the people that we're trying to teach and go with, it would have been a completely different ballgame. I feel like if somebody had spent their life and looked at me and just been like, Ryan, honey, no, I would have been pissed off, but I would have ended up somewhere different. Like, I wish none of the experiences that I have do I wish on somebody else, but I'll be damned if you think I'm going to go back and change them. Like, they are the things that made me learn, like, oh.
And that's my biggest thing. So when I first started teaching, I was 22 and my students were 19. And that was like a whole
like a 3 to 4 year gap.
Yeah, and I would be like, oh my God, why are you like this? And, you know, so one
and then you remember.
Yeah, well, the first thing I had to, like, acknowledge, and I often acknowledge it publicly with my students, was that I have education privilege in that my parents had the means to move us away from, like, what they consider to be poor learning environments.
Right.
And so that's something I'm, like, very vocal about. And, you know, that's why when I talk about code switching in my classroom, because, like, I when I first started teaching, I was working with students who were incarcerated. And, you know, all of the different dynamics that would play into that of, like, you know, we were experiencing homelessness, and then I joined a gang, and then this happened, and then I got arrested, and now I'm in jail. And, like, it was just, there was so much stuff that I was like, damn, that easily could have been me if my parents hadn't been like, this school system sucks, we need to move.
Can you take a second, because I understand exactly what you're saying, but can you take a second to explain what code switching is for those people who don't know?
Sure. So code switching is when, you know, we take the different experiences, and especially, like, vernacular-based language, and kind of switch throughout the course of the day. So, you know, when I'm sitting with my friends and I'm like, oh, she ain't shit for doing that, blah, 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 that I wouldn't necessarily, like, I wouldn't talk to my boss and be like, yes, that lesson plan was shit. Like, but, you know, it's the concept that, like, we use different language in different settings.
For white people, it's the wearing different hats.
There you go. So one of my many hats is that I'm from Uptown Manhattan, and, you know, I only spent a short amount of time, like, living there physically, because that's when my parents started to say, okay, we don't want them in the same school system that we grew up in. But, like, I see my parents as two, like, very intelligent individuals. And I'm like, y'all made it out, so what? Why couldn't we? But then I look at, you know, the educational experiences that I had in other places, and I'm like, damn, I wonder if I would have the capacity to run multiple businesses while also being a, you know, like, a professional teacher or educator, all simultaneously, if I had not had the education experiences that I had that prepared me for that. And so sometimes I'm like, oh, you guys, like, made me move to this super white town where I felt out of place my whole life. And then other times I'm like, thank you.
That's a really good point. I think another thing with code switching too that most people don't get is it involves, like, grammatical structure and dialect as well. For example, the when people complain about, like, I'm gonna ax you something, or I'm finna do this, and, like, it's things that we use on a regular basis.
Hi friends, Editing Token here. I just want to hop in and say that in this particular part of the conversation, we are talking specifically about the way that people use words and lexicon and things like that. But we also want to understand that there is a difference between AAVE, African American Vernacular English. Chloe is a woman of color, and she does teach students that are also of color. So we just want to make sure that there is a clarification here separating that saying acts and finna and ain't and things that are AAVE, they're not incorrect. They're a different type of language that needs to be respected and understood, and that also fits into code switching. And now back to the actual conversation.
And as a teacher, you can correct me on this one, or not. As a teacher of color, you can correct me on this. There's a complete difference between, like, speaking correctly and grammatically, and understanding that grammar is also a set of control that is imposed on people to do that. And you know me, I love languages and I love grammar, and I like to be proper in the way that I speak, because I prefer the education side of it. But that doesn't take away from people who do speak with a specific way. Like, it doesn't make them incorrect.
Correct. And so that's the whole thing that I talk about with my students, is, like, your way of understanding the world is not wrong. Like, it's not inherently wrong because it doesn't match, like, the standard of what's out there. But, you know, there are certain rules, I agree, where, like, you know, I had a student, this is really funny, I had a student submit an essay the other day that was like, and it said, and you know Troy, he be bugging. And I was like, my guy. I literally commented, we use, like, Google Docs, and I commented, I'm like, bro, are you joking me right now? Take that shit out. And he was like, but come on, Miss SJ, like, I'm just, you know, I'm kicking it, I'm writing it, it's helping me. I'm like, no.
You gotta code switch it. You gotta make it so it fits in.
I'm like, okay, so find an appropriate way, a school appropriate way to say he be bugging. And so we sat and we talked and we're like, okay, so what he came up with was Troy occasionally like acts out against his family members or something like that. And I was like, see, like, you don't have to be talking all crazy in your damn essay, you dummy. Like,
right. Code switching is really cool in the sense that it helps break communication barriers, because if you can understand what these things mean, like there's this complete difference where it's almost like a sign of respect, not in the sense of what we grew up with, where like you respect this person because they're in a position of power. It makes them relatable. And then there's this instant conference of, or this instant like transference of respect, where if I'm talking to any of your students, or if you're talking to them and we're saying this thing and like, this is what it is, and you turn around and be like, listen, y'all are acting dumb. We need to break this down. Like, why are you acting crazy? It's one of those moments where they're like, oh, you're just trying to teach us. You're not trying to talk down to us or anything. Like, you're on our level and you're trying to help us understand. And that's huge. And tying that back into what you do with your letterpress, do you feel that you use your teaching abilities and code switching and everything to help personalize what you do and to make it more relatable to other people?
Absolutely. I mean, I never, and if you think that's like where we first met, like I never considered myself a people person until I realized like how, because I'm a strong communicator, I don't necessarily have to like people, but I can get along with people, and that's fine. And
that was you 100% at camp. I specifically remember what, because that's where we met, for everyone paying attention. We were both camp counselors. One of the funniest things I ever saw you do is when you were with all of your campers, they were talking about things they wanted to do, and you were like, that sounds like a really dumb idea. We should try something else. And like turned and kept going. And I was just like, I love her. Because you just didn't, you let them finish and you're like, cool, but we're not doing that. And like kept going.
And I think that reflects. Even like camp, right? Like that was such a different world from what I experienced. You know, I remember being like, damn, this camp costs how much a week? Like, people are sending their kids for the whole summer. How much money your parents make? Like, what the fuck?
That was a huge thing, because I would have never been able, like, my summer camp experience was scout camp, which was like $300 for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? Or any other thing I did, I fundraise. And it's not saying that, like, I grew up poor or anything like that. It was just one of those things where you get to, if I didn't work at that camp, I would have never been able to experience a camp like that. And that was crazy.
And so the cool thing was, and my siblings and I actually talk about this, because the first summer that I worked there, a family friend paid for them to attend the camp because he was familiar with it. His son had gone years prior. And when he found out I was working there, he was like, oh my God, my son went there. And I was like, yeah, because you're rich. And then he was like, I want to send your brother and sister. And I was like, okay, cool. And it was a fun experience. But we always think about that, like, you know, I didn't grow up poor either, but I'm one of four. Like there's no, somebody Same. Wasn't going to camp.
Same.
And we went to like daycare programs. We went to, you know, summer camp that was day camp, but we always, you know, like we're free and reduced lunch kids. Like I'm just going to put it out there. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Like it didn't change my perspective, but I do remember like when I met a lot of my students, being that they were on the lower like socioeconomic status side of life, like I just remember like my first step into the classroom being like, damn, there are some things I 100% connect with my students about. There are other things I really truly need to check my privilege about. And you know, that wasn't not necessarily, it wasn't a place where I've found myself where I'm like in a position of power and points of privilege, because you know, as a woman of color, like there aren't many fields or places in life where I'm like the person with power. And as much as I hate to admit that, but it's just like society, right? And so I thought like I could really do a lot of damage if I'm not careful in this environment. And so I kind of forgot what we were talking about originally, why I brought them up. But when it comes to code switching and like making sure that I'm transparent about like that, all of the advice I give for my students and you know, in life and with my clients, even it's done with love. Like I'm just using the experience I have, the understanding I have, the knowledge that I've collected over years and years of doing this work, and kind of like rolling that all up into one.
I think it makes you much more relatable too. Like you being a teacher lets you do it. Like you on your Instagram and your Facebook page, you do so much behind the scenes education of what letterpress is. And it really makes you much more interesting, because it's created this thing where although you're relatively new at this, although this is not something that you have a ton of experience with, you are an expert in your field because you're taking the moment to teach other people. And one of the coaches that I love dearly and have spoken to, she always says that to be a coach, you have to be one step ahead of the other person. Like, you don't have to be professional. You don't have to have everything put together. You just have to be one step in front of where this other person is, because right. they're like, they don't know. They don't
That's
care.
A really good thing to keep in mind.
I love it. That's the whole thing with this.
Like, imposter syndrome rears its ugly head sometimes when I'm like, oh shit, there's people who have been doing this for 5 years versus my 2.5. And I'm like, who cares? Like, you know what I mean? But it doesn't take away the fact that I've done research that, I mean, even graphic design, it took me so many years to say I'm a graphic designer when I kid you not, I've been graphic designing since I was making MySpace layouts at age 12.
Like, see, and for me, I feel like that's something that was easy because going through acting school and circus performance and everything, we are always taught, you know, people say like, oh, you're aspiring to be an actor. Or he wants to be an actor. Like, no, I have a degree. I do this. Like, I do this professionally. Like, I'm an actor. Do I make a ton of money off of whatever I'm doing? That's literally, one, none of your business. And two, you don't have to you don't have to be successful at something to still be that thing. And I'm not saying like, oh, I can throw a ball terribly and become a baseball pitcher, but you can be an actor that only acts in community theater and only does little things for a podcaster like this that has 10 listeners and still be an actor, a podcaster. Yeah. It's this whole mentality of growing up and being taught like, oh, I want to be this or I'm trying to be this completely takes away from that. And like your students, when you walk in and they're already, they grew up in a poor environment, they already have this defeatist mentality that this is as far 100%. As I can go. They're like, this is all I can do, because I know that when I went to school and everything, it was straight up like, either I do this or I'm not successful. And then I just started going off and doing my own thing and being ridiculous and being this rebel that my brand started from. And then everyone was like, I like what you're doing. Can you teach me more? And it's one of those things where everything that we were taught growing up, given our parents and the generations before us were still supportive of us, they wanted the best for us because they thought that best was all the way up here. Whereas you and I look at it, do I have a place to live? Do I have enough money? Like, even if I'm living paycheck to paycheck, am I living happy in what I'm doing?
Not living paycheck to paycheck.
In this economy?
All bank accounts. You a liar.
In this economy? No. But it's just that mentality of, we were taught that you have to have a big house and have all these things. Yeah. And then we grew up and we realized right off the bat, those things aren't obtainable. Like, you can't have them. And so we made a happiness balance.
At least not right now.
No, and in the future, whatever. But I'm not gonna rank it by the fact that I graduated college and didn't have a professional job right off the bat and be like, okay, so this means I'm not successful. Like, I'm 29, I'm building this, I'm doing what I can, I'm making things happen. And every 100%. Single step of the way, I've looked at it and been like, eh, this is whatever. But then other people hear my story or other people hear your story and they're like, it is so crazy that you've done those things. How did you do them? And 100%. Now we're experts on the topic.
And you know what's funny is, like, this is perfectly tying into something I just experienced today. So I had an observation today. And if you're familiar at all, listeners, Ryan, with, like, teacher observations.
Oh, yeah.
The culture around it is, like, somebody's going to come and, like, wag their finger in your face and tell you what you're not doing right. And for me, I never had that mentality because I'm like, well, I'm a new teacher. Like, I have a lot to learn, but I also know that I'm, like, intrinsically very good at teaching. Mm-hmm. It's just like a natural skill that I have. It's why I've worked at summer camps. It's why I'm like, I've been a certified babysitter since I was 12. Like, there are things that are part of teaching that are just part of my, like, nature. And my colleagues, we have a group chat because we're all working remotely. And my colleagues were like, make sure you do this. And, you know, like, kind of trying to bolster the vibe. And I don't really sweat that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, observation, like, bring it on. I'm doing my job right. I know it. So whatever.
And if I'm not, tell me and I can fix it. But, like, I don't, like, you can't yell at me if I don't know what I'm doing.
Exactly. And I don't see the recommendations or, like, the correction of a behavior or a pattern or a practice as punishment. I'm open, I'm willing to learn. And
that's
so
how
you
learn. Like, you have to mess up. I'm a kinesthetic learner. And when I explain to people the different types, because, you know, you got your visual learners that they have to see it. You got your audio learners who have to hear it. And you have your kinesthetic learners, which I like to tell people, we are the type of people that we have to do it, fuck it up, and learn how to fix it.
Yep.
And that's how I've been my entire time. And just I resonate with that so, so very much, especially with me, you know, being homeless and all these other things and coming back from what I've had and like dealing with my medical injury and everything. It's literally never been a, oh my God, my life has to stop because everything's messed up. It's always just been, yeah, cool, now what? Cool, now what?
Like, how situation. Can I fix it? What do I
right.
do?
Yeah. Right.
And so, like, going into the observation, you know, I always, in my head, I'm like, all right, you got to make sure, like, you sell it. Sell yourself. You got this. But then it just happens so naturally that I'm like, I don't even need to sell it that hard because I'm doing my shit the right way. Like, I know it. I'm experienced. And I look at this because, or the reason I bring this up is because this is my sixth year in the classroom. And with the turnover and the, you know, the attrition rates for teachers, like, they're low. So a lot of teachers are in their first or second year. 6 years is longer than I intended to teach, but here I am. And, you know, you have your 20, 30 year veterans. And I think that when you look at, like, time in, you're doing a disservice to the energy, the effort, the intention, because there are people who have been teaching for 20 years and they ain't got shit on me because they don't have the intention that I have of being a good educator.
Well, and then there's that whole mentality of if you're trying to do something to chase a bag, you're never going to be successful. And like right. they say that with acting all the time. They're like, if you are going into acting, performance, any type of creativity and art, if your mentality is I want to be famous, you will never be famous ever.
Yeah.
You have to do it because you're passionate
will backfire.
About it.
Mm-hmm. And that's
you'll be infamous and you don't want that.
Pass. Mm-mm. I try to take that mentality into the classroom, but also into my business, because to me, I know, like, I might not have, you know, years and years worth. I just registered my LLC 4 months ago, 5 months
right.
ago. You know, it's not to say like Gaudio is a well-established business, but it is a business that is led with intention and it is led with, you know, integrity. And to me, that makes me stand out. And so my whole thing is, like, if you're going to go into something as a professional or even an unprofessional professional, like, do it right and you will see the reward. You will see the payoff.
Right. I think that plays a lot with you specifically, because from my perspective, from somebody who's viewed your content and seen what you've done and wants to actively participate in your neighborhood, like in your community that you've created, you're not just like, this is my product, please buy this from me. It's a, this is how this product is made. This is what goes into it. This is what I'm doing. Let me teach you more about it. And you're not trying to go, give me your money. You're trying to engage with them on a one-on-one level because you understand that you can buy this thing from me and go away and get it from 100 other places, or you can resonate with me specifically and continue to come back and understand that I'm not doing this to take your paycheck. I will, because that's how I pay my bills, but because you're putting money into this, this is what you're getting out of it. This is what you're seeing. And I think that's a huge, huge difference. And there's this complete joint, like you said, with you don't separate anything. So you are being your professional self while still being your unprofessional self. And there, you know, we talked about code switching and everything. There isn't that in the way that you run your business. It is literally just like, this is me. This is my heart that I'm pouring into everything. And the people that are like, well, I don't like it, you go, okay, but why? And then when they give you a stupid answer, or when they say like, I just don't think it's clean enough, you go, all right, well, this is how I do it.
And
that's
just
it.
Not for me, though. I mean,
right.
Because my thing is, I know for a fact, so I recently entered a stage of business ownership where I feel comfortable saying no to projects that I don't want to do.
That is the greatest feeling in the world, isn't it?
Yes, it is. As a business owner, as a helper, I feel really guilty. But one of the things that I'm getting better at is noticing when projects don't align with my vision or align with my end goal. Because I'm not that person who's like, I just want to take your money. Like, I could do things that I'm not passionate about, take your money and move on with my life. But I want to work with clientele who, you know, like I said, they keep coming back. They keep, you know, I have clients who we text now and we're talking about like skincare or, you know, what they're doing for their fiance to surprise them. Like, you know, I pride myself on the fact that my clients turn into friends, because to me, it speaks to the level of care that comes from my brand. Like, it's built into my brand. It's not because I just like you or because we happened to click or you hired me and you paid me a lot of money. Like,
you're not buying the friendship. They're buying the product. The friendship is the bonus.
Right. And it just, to me, it speaks to the fact that my brand is established enough to be attracting the clients that are going to be repeat customers and that are going to really align with my brand. And since I've come to that realization, I feel comfortable saying, you know what? Thank you so much for reaching out to me about this project. I'm not going to lie. I usually make up like a BS excuse about why I can't do it because I'm still like a giver in that sense. I'm like, mm-hmm. I just don't want to do this for you. But, you know, sometimes I'll be honest and just say like, hey, I don't really think this project is up my alley, but here's a bunch of people who I think could.
Right.
You know, like, I'm really big on the referral because I'm like, I don't want to do this, or I don't have the capacity to do this, or I don't have the skills to do it, but I did some research and here's where you can do instead.
Well, and then at the same time, that also says a lot, because that there's a difference between going, I can't help you, this person can, and recognizing I'm not at that stage yet in my business, and then sending them where that is, because that means they'll still come to you, because who knows, yep, a year down the line, you may be able to do what they asked for.
Absolutely.
And then you can continue from there. But anytime that you reach out to someone and they're like, no, I can't help you, and that's the end of the conversation, I have no interest in communicating with them more.
Like,
but when they give you...
Good. I'm glad you can't do it.
Right. Because like, it's not your fault. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the person asking for its fault that they can't do this thing, unless they're just like a douche, but that's completely different. But if you physically can't help them and they're interested in investing the time and the money in this, you'll direct them to someone else. And that's super important, especially among this network of small businesses that you pass,
yes,
people. And then, because I did that with you with one of my friends who was looking for,
yep,
something. I passed her to you. And even though nothing came from it, it was still like this person can do this. And that's a good way to blow it off.
Keep it in mind, right?
Right. Yep. And then you also have, it was in my brain and now I'm losing it. The other thing with you making these relationships and friends with these people is that when you design their wedding invitation and these other things, you know them. You can add personal touches that are specific to them and their relationship. And it's not like you paid to notice what these things are. It's like you've built a connection with them enough that if this is what they want, this city is the background on their wedding invitation, now you put a special thing of, you know, their favorite restaurant is here, so you can,
right,
put something in it. You know what I mean? Like,
so,
it's
and
that
that's
extra step.
When I say that I'm saying no to projects that I don't want to do, it's projects that are not personal and don't have that like personal tie to them. Because I'm not going to lie, I get my fair share of inquiries from people who are like, I just want something that's cheap and fast. And I'm like,
and
I am neither
it.
Cheap nor
I'm
fast.
Not those things.
Like, that's not this. And, you know, a couple of months ago, I would not have been able to confidently say, hey, that's just not really what I do, because my clientele is a client who, you know, they come and they're like, we met at this restaurant and the restaurant has Spanish tiles, and so we want to incorporate Spanish tiles in our design. Like, that shit makes me like, I'm like, whew, okay, yes, I got it, I'm on it.
Well, it makes you a storyteller, and I think this,
yeah,
part of the reason that you and I are as close as we are through this whole camp experience is we are both teachers, but not in the literal sense of like, I'm gonna put you in my classroom. It's more of the,
right,
we've acknowledged that our entire purpose in life is to help share knowledge with other people,
yes,
of some kind. And one, the way you do everything says a lot to that, but that makes us helpers by need. And there's a
yep,
very difficult thing that every helper has to come to the point where they realize that saying no isn't always a bad thing, because I can help as many people as I want, but if I have to sacrifice and hurt myself to help someone, it's not going to,
yep,
do anything. And you 100%. have to reserve that energy and do those things. And I want to storytell. I want to create something. I want someone to go, my favorite color is blue. I like this particular flower. I like this thing. And I'm trying to make it personal for this person, because then I have complete free reign to take what they've given me and create this story for them.
From
and I
staff,
feel,
yep,
right. And for you, it gets to be this long process of building it and doing it. And I'm sure it's that initial moment, just like at a wedding where the groom or bride sees their significant other at the end of the road, and it just tears because you've,
yeah,
taken all of the things that they
I
love and
so.
Said and put it into this,
yeah,
this paper that they can cherish. Because that's another thing about letterpress that you've explained, is that they last forever.
Yes. And that's my biggest thing, is that when I design, nothing that I design is meant for you to keep, right? Like, you don't order 150 wedding invitations and then hoard them in your closet for 30 years, right? You're passing along this sentiment And if your guest or intended guest will take this wedding invitation and say, oh my God, I love this, I'm going to tuck it away and like as a keepsake, then I've done my job correctly. Like, I really pride myself on creating materials that are lasting quality so that they can be heirlooms, because I'm that like sappy human that's like, oh, oh my God,
I'm right there with you.
This is my like umbilical cord. I'm like, that's fucking gross, but I have it.
Like first like, tooth hair. Yeah. Brittany, who is one of my friends, she was on the first episode of Professionally Unprofessional. I have her wedding invitation that she mailed me. I still have. Yeah. I still have it written down, saved, like, because it was the perforated edge that you have, like, I have it torn off. It is not the cutest thing in the world, but I was like, I was there.
It's so cute. I love that.
Right. And so you get to have that thing that you're creating. I just think that speaks volumes.
Yes.
So I love it.
It's funny how I've rubbed off on people, because, like, my husband, he used to make fun of me, like, when I would save little things, like a fortune cookie fortune, he'd be like, why are you saving that? I'm like, because it's from this restaurant that we went to and it's like a cute moment, like I'm keeping it. He'll be like, how the fuck are you gonna remember that? I'm like, because I'm not an idiot, like, you know, like, it just, my brain just works this way.
Yeah, but that's how memory is to begin with. It's things in the situation, smells, taste, yeah, any of those things, they can bring it back, because memory is one of the strongest things that we have.
And that's what I'm pulling on when I'm, you know, like, that's what I'm banking on when I'm designing, is I want to do stuff that is memorable so that you have like a flashbulb memory of, oh my God, when this envelope came in the mail, I literally dropped everything on the floor because I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, mm-hmm. That is the experience that I want to create for my clients. And I had this is a perfect example. The other day we mailed out these save the dates for a wedding that, you know, it's kind of up in the air if the wedding's gonna happen right now.
Thanks, Rona.
Yeah, right. And the bride was texting me like screenshots of her friend's reactions to the save the dates for like a solid week. And I was just like, she's like, I know you probably appreciate the validation as much as I do. And I was like, fuck yes, keep them coming. Like,
for me, it's not even the validation that comes from it. It's just the seeing. It's not like, oh, I feel validated, I created that thing. It's just right. Seeing the emotion in someone else. It makes you feel like you're not crazy and for risking
this. That's the reaction I had. I said, I'm not patting myself on the back. I am giddy that other people are feeling as excited as I was when I made. And so that was like, I told her, I was like, oh my God, I'm so happy people are loving them. Like her little sister actually did the design, and then I like modified it and made it like letterpress friendly, and then added some elements, and then I printed them. And so to me, it was like, it wasn't just something I did, like sister, I mean, she worked on it with me. It was such a like funny process, because she was very like particular about certain details. And so, you know, I'd be at work and I'm like emailing her like, okay, hey, here's where we're at now with the proofing stage and stuff. And she's like, I printed this out at my desk, and like showing me things. Like, I'm like, what did you stop doing my job? But you know, it was very collaborative, and that's my preference for this type of experience, is that you feel like you had a part in it.
That's so exciting that you have built this iPod or iPad created image that has now become this little business for you. And then another thing about that that's really important is that Hispanic and Latin culture in general is very big on memories and remembering things. And I mean, you got to think like Dia de los Muertos, which is literally just like a, they are gone, but we remember them, and this is why. And as long as we remember them, they will live on. And that is 100%, like, that is Barrio. That is, it's just, it's where it is, it's ready to go. And like, I think that's fantastic. So, what's next?
So, ideally, what's next is I really want to step up my game in terms of attracting that ideal client. I don't want to be booked and busy. I want to be, like, booked and entertained. Like, I want to have things to do consistently, and I think that's going to come along with like continuing to show up as me, continuing to solidify my offering. So right now I'm kind of getting into a sweet spot where I'm eliminating stuff that I don't want to do, as well as like figuring out how to do the things that I do want to do really well. And so like with my brands client, like my branding clients, I'm actually going to be breaking that off entirely into like its own company eventually. Because when branding clients come to me, they're like, I need a logo. I need assets. I need this. I'm an English teacher, so people end up paying me to write their copy. And then I'm like, oh, who's going to build your website? And they're like, do you build websites? I'm like, yep. So, you know, it's something that's developing further and further, but I'm still like, I want to play with paper. So like, let me chill on that a little bit, but it is forthcoming and I see where it's going to like naturally develop into that. A funny story about like what's next is that my business is actually like formally titled Bodio Letterpress Collective, because mm-hmm. ideally I will get to a place where we are a collective of smaller brands, right?
That's what I was just going to ask. I was like, you're trying to build your brand to keep everything in the neighborhood, if you will.
Yes, exactly. And my husband and I joke around that we're going to have like our own little compound and it's going to be like the Bodio Brews, like that's going to be our cold brew store. And like, you know, just we definitely see a place where this could grow into something much bigger than just like paper specific goods. And I'm okay with that. Right now I'm comfortable with like the paper world. But I do see where, you know, people need copywriters, people need like life coaching. Like first let me get my shit together, but you know,
don't steal my job. That's my gig.
Sorry. My bad.
My hey, gig.
Community over competition, boo boo.
Right. 100%.
But no, I just, you know, I see it going into a place where this feel good vibe, it could be, you know, I work with event planners. I work with photographers. Like my husband's a DJ. You know, there's just so much stuff that we could do that's specific to events. And I get so excited that sometimes I have to like sit down and take a breather. I'm like, ooh, I just went a little too That's So Raven into this, like what's coming. But I'm really content with where I'm at right now. And I fully plan on like June 17th, school's over. Like, expect to get sick of seeing me this summer, because I intend to be like, here I am again with this new thing. Here I am again educating you on my products. Here I am again. Like, I want to become so confident that I'm like a broken record, that it's okay if people are a little sick of seeing my face in ads and stuff like that. Cause like, sometimes I'm like, damn it, there's a Target on every corner where I go. Like, they're following me, they're trying to trap me. But then I go and I give them like lots and lots of my hard earned money. And that's how I want to be. I aspire to be the Target of stationery.
And I'm here for it. I'm ready to watch it all. I love that you have the little, that you get so involved and there's no time limit on everything, which is great. Cause I'm the same way. It's taken down now. Cause you know, we start moving tomorrow, but all my desk normally has all these sticky notes all over the walls of like what I'm working on. And it'll be one of those like random ideas of, oh, you need to do this, and just put it on a sticky note. Cause right I don't know
that's
when
what
I'm going to get.
My whiteboard here is
yeah.
For.
I don't know when I'm going to get to it, but I know I'm going to do it. And that's, yeah. I'm so excited for you. Thank you for talking to us about letterpress
and
everything.
Thank you for inviting me to be here. This has been, it's always fun to like connect with other creatives and other entrepreneurs, but especially one that knows, like, started from the
all
bottom.
All of you, that knows everything. You know?
And especially like, you know so much about, like, I feel like a time period where I wasn't super confident in who I am. And I grew a lot through that experience, like working at a summer camp, and especially doing it so many years in a row.
It was hard. It was real hard.
Whoa. Let's not even talk about pre-camp, because the other day I was scraping the rust off my letterpress.
And I was like,
oh my God. I'm like, this is like chipping paint off a building to repaint it. That is exactly what it felt like. And I have blisters and like little cuts on my hands from doing it. And I'm like, whew. Your girl been at a desk for a while and the finger's looking a little rough right now. But it's definitely, you know, we've been through some shit and we've earned our level of confidence right now. So I'm proud of us.
I am too. I think it's so great. Like, everybody loves finding a brand that they love and that they want to go with and that they want to support. But then to turn around and realize that that brand is someone that you've known for so long and someone that you've literally watched at the beginning of their creative enterprise career and see where they've turned into and see like, hey, I put this up and it sold out, then just sit over here and like have the little clash and be like, that's my friend, y'all. My friend
yeah,
did
he
the
did
you know
it.
What I mean? Like yes, it's
absolutely.
So it just means so much more. And like everybody talks about how they want to be successful and they want to see themselves succeed, but then to actually be in a group where your friends are succeeding and your friends are doing well is just super, super awesome.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing this with us. And I'm excited that we'll post this and like in a year we'll be able to come back to it and have you back on and be like, where are we now? What's going
yes.
on here?
I'm here for it. Let me schedule it in.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at www.bodyandlitterbox.com for my website. Please send all inquiries to my website. I don't answer a DM inquiry. but you can also follow me on Instagram at BarrioPress. That's B-A-R-R-I-O, press, like letterpress. And I'm also on Facebook. So I'm on all of your platforms. I recently joined TikTok, much to my millennial chagrin.
I don't get it. Also, chagrin is such a good millennial word. I feel like we all use it all the time and other people are like, what does this mean? And we're just like, shh, it's for us. It's
Look
for
it
us. It's our word.
So yeah, I recently joined TikTok because I'm going to be documenting, well, I am documenting the restoration of my press on there. So yeah, I'm on TikTok at BarrioPress as well. And I'm just all over the internet. Your girl is a true, I'm an icon. No, social media.
She's
icon.
Getting there. So if yeah. there is, after all of this, people can find you, it'll be all in there. What is one thing that you would tell someone who wants to do something and someone who's looking at this and like, well, I'm not professional enough to do this. What's the one thing that you would tell them?
The one thing that I would tell them is that your view of what makes you a professional is probably not right. sorry. But realistically, I think we're way harsher judges of ourselves than other people are of us. And oftentimes an entrepreneur has like a very driven mindset, has a very perfectionist view of things. And so you have to get out of your own way. And you know, if you want to know if you're professional enough to do something, ask somebody, would you pay me to do this? Like, do you think that this service is worth money? Do research. Don't be afraid to look up like your market, see if there's a market for the thing that you're offering. You know, and that's how you determine if you're a professional or not. And when you start to get, don't let imposter syndrome get in your way. It's something I'm practicing myself. But realistically, that voice in your head that's saying like, I'm not a professional at this, that's imposter syndrome. And so kick that bitch to the curb. We have no time for it. You have things to do. Make it happen.
Thank you again to Chloe for joining us on Professionally Unprofessional. As she said, all of her information is going to be in the description box below. Please go to her website, her Facebook, and Instagram and show her some love. Maybe hire her, shoot her an email to set up something from Barrio Letterpress to see how it can impact your life. If you enjoyed being here with us on this interview, there's a few things that we want to talk about and go over with you. The main one is Chloe's perception of success. The one part of this that really stuck out to me is where she said, I don't want to quit my job to be professional. And that really resonates with a lot of people. I know it resonates with me in my coaching business, the sense that you don't have to give everything up to be a professional in the industry. You don't have to make this huge sacrifice to be something just because it's your dream. You can still be you, still live your life and do those things at the same time. And Chloe is proof of that. She's running 3 different job opportunities right now. She has Barrio Letterpress, her other company, and then she's a teacher on top of it. So thank you to her for spending some time with us to go over these things. And just keep in mind, when you go out, you look at things, always, always, always challenge yourself with the things that you are doing and creating to be professional in so that you can have that moment, like Chloe said, where you come back in your lab coat in front of her and prove her wrong. So live that truth with everyone that you talk to. Thank you guys so much for listening to our podcast. If you would like to win one of Chloe's manifesting magic kits from Barrio Letterpress, all you have to do is follow her on Instagram, follow myself on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter. That's it. All the descriptions will be sent out in this week's newsletter on how to win. If you have any other questions, feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@redheadrunaway.com. Other than that, we will see you next time. Okay, bye.